When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Yay Networks.
Hi guys, welcome to this week's episode of Dear Reality, You're Effed. I am Hannah Ferrier, as I'm sure you're aware. And this week you just have me, myself and I. So I'm actually getting very comfortable. I think I've been doing this podcast for like 2.5 years and I was always petrified to do podcasts on my own because the thought of like not having someone to bounce off or interview or chat to was really scary for me. But I'm getting better at it after like 2.5 years. So this week is just me. So we're going to be touching a little bit on the Vanderpump reunion, which I watched with some girlfriends last night. And then a little bit of an update about what I've been up to recently, because I had a few podcasts there that were pre-recorded because I was away filming again. So I just got back a few weeks ago and we filmed Traitors Australia. So that's coming out in August, which I'm really excited about. It was amazing and so much harder than it looks on television. So I'll leave it at there for now. But when the actual episodes air, I'm going to be able to have a chat with you guys about it. But yeah, it was a lot more difficult. I went into it going like, oh my gosh, how adorable, like a cute little murder mystery. And then I worked out very quickly that there was a little bit more to it than that. So it was lots of fun to do though, and I always have fun when I'm on set. But obviously as well, it was so hard leaving Ava again. She is just in the funniest stage of life. She's learning about emotions at the moment at her daycare center. So, and she's obsessed with helium balloons. So it's actually getting a little bit creepy because I get her like a helium balloon every 3 or 4 days and she like walks around with it like she's walking a dog. But now she's started talking about emotions. So she'll just be sitting on a chair with a helium balloon and she's like, "Mommy, I'm really sad and angry." And I'm like, oh, she doesn't know why she's sad or angry. She's not sad and angry. She just is like, I guess, learning about these words and deciding that it's her. But sitting there like with these little pigtails and a like a red helium balloon while she tells me she's sad and angry, actually a little creepy from a two-year-old. So it was hard to leave her, but always so good to come home as well. So, and then my mom had her 70th birthday. So I've got a little bit of a funny story to tell you guys about what just happened on Monday. So basically in like February, so I reached out to a few places in the Hunter Valley, which is I guess like the Sydney equivalent to Napa. It's like our wine region. You go up, you wine, you dine, it's like really beautiful rolling hills, kangaroos hopping everywhere. It's gorgeous. So I reached out to a few places because I wanted to work with, basically a hotel just to make a really amazing itinerary and make it very special for my mom. So I basically reached out to a place called Chateau Elan and I started talking to them and it was like, I wanted to make sure that, you know, there was like a customized cake that they could help me with, that they could help me with decorating the room. And this woman was so lovely, so lovely. So we started emailing back and forth. She let me know their restaurant options. So it was a surprise for my mum. So I took her up there, and basically we were arriving on the Monday afternoon. We had a French restaurant booked for the Monday night. And then the spa was at 9 o'clock the next morning. And then a brunch was like going to be set out for us, like as we left the day spa. And then when we got back to the room, there was like a personalized cake being delivered, and they were going to like do some decorations and stuff in the room. And then we were going on a private wine tour, just the two of us around the vineyards. And then we were going to like this amazing steak restaurant as part of the hotel at night. So it's literally been like 3 months planning has been put into this. And so we drove up to the Hunter Valley. It's like 3 hours from Sydney, and we get to Chateau Elan, and I go to check in, and she's like, I can't find your reservation. And I was like, can I give you the reservation number? She's like, yep, great. So gave her the reservation number. She's like, I still can't see anything. And I was like, I've been dealing with this woman. And she goes, I've never heard of her. I was like, what is going on? So then I show her the email, and she was like, that's not in Hunter Valley, Australia. That's in Georgia, in America. So basically I had spent 3 months chatting to this woman. I had planned this amazing 2 days for my mom, and it was in Georgia, in America, at a place called Chateau Elan. And obviously we were in Hunter Valley in New South Wales, Australia. So I felt like the biggest idiot, because I can't believe in all this time. I've even gone on their website and like looked at the photos, at the videos, checked the menu to see what I was going to eat, like every sane person does. And I still didn't piece it together that this place was in Georgia and not the Hunter Valley. So then it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We're sitting in the car. We have no accommodation, no spa appointments, no restaurants booked, no wine tours. So luckily there was a place in there, the Grand Mercure, and there was this lovely woman there, coincidentally named Sandy. She was so sweet. So she got us a two-bedroom apartment, and we got takeaway pizza, and we went to a nice place for lunch. So it was still a really nice time. But my husband was laughing so hard. He's like, that is just the biggest like Hannah thing to do. So it started me thinking about like other times when I've come home and told him stories about situations that have happened. And so I have a few more very embarrassing stories to tell you guys. I hope that you at least get a giggle out of it, because, you know, I was not laughing at the time, but I'm laughing now. So I was with my girlfriend, Ashley, and Courtney Skippen, actually. She was one of the Kate stewardesses, and she lives close to me now. So we went to a place called Saki in Manly. And in our defense, we'd had like a bottle of champagne, but it was girls' night. We'd had a bottle of champagne before we left. Then we went to Wharf Bar and we had a bottle of champagne there. And then we got to Saki and we were well into like our third bottle of champagne. And I went to the bathroom, and then this woman came up to the table and she goes, I'm so sorry to bother you. I just wanted to let you know that me and my husband think you are just gorgeous and you look fantastic. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so sweet. Thank you so much. And then she kind of stood there, and that usually to me is a sign of like, they want to ask you like for a photo, but they don't want to be rude. And I was like, do you guys want a photo? And she's like, oh, sure. Yeah, that'd be lovely. So I get up, have photos with these people, like 10 steps away from the girls. They were like continuing on the champagne and gossip. And then I have photos with these people. And then they're like, I said to them, I was like, oh, so how long have you watched the show? And she goes, what show? I was like, what do you mean, what show? She's like, what show, like, are you talking about? And I was like, you don't know me from a show? She's like, no. I was like, oh my God, what am I doing taking selfies with these people? And also, why are you guys, are you swingers? Were you trying to get me to like come home with you? Why have you just come up to me in the middle of a restaurant to tell me that I look good if you don't know me from below deck? I got back to the table and my girlfriend goes to me, she's like, oh, you're always so nice with your fans. And I went, they weren't fans. She's like, what? I'm like, they don't know me from the show. She's like, you were just taking photos with a random stranger? I'm like, yeah, pretty much. I'm going to need something stronger than champagne. Let's get some tequila here. I was dying in a hole. Another very, very unfortunate and uncomfortable situation was when I was pregnant. And I still to this day don't really know how it happened. So when we are shooting Watch What Happens Live, obviously it airs straight after the episode that we're going to be talking about. So I was doing Watch What Happens Live. I was like 6 months pregnant and it was the season that like Kiko got fired and I got fired, everyone got fired. And I had hair and makeup come to the house, had my dress and everything. And then I sat down to record Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. And there was like a little, like I can obviously see what the studio audience can see as well. So he goes, okay, like this week we've got Hannah on, we're going to be talking about blah, 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 blah. And I just went, oh, fuck. I haven't watched the episode. I was like, how is this happening? So I think with my baby brain, I think I'd gone on and watched the episode before. So basically I had to sit there with Andy Cohen and a live studio audience. Luckily it was virtual. And I had no idea what he was talking about at all. And I just had to bluff my way through it because I hadn't seen the episode. So I was just going like, and I'm usually like pretty good when it comes to my work stuff, you know, like I was definitely a hot mess in my personal life for many years of my life, but with work, I try and keep it. So the fact that I had to do a talk show for like 35 minutes and I had no idea what he was talking about was honestly one of the most cringeworthy moments of my entire life. Like, anywho, so I am bright red and I hope you guys had a good laugh out of that. I will definitely try and, if you guys like it, I will try and remember more cringeworthy moments. There's been about 1,057 of them in my life. We could probably start a whole new podcast just on cringeworthy moments. I had an amazing moment in south of France, in Antibes, where I was living, and it was the dead middle of winter and we were at a restaurant and I don't know how it happened. Like, once again, I like never know how these things happen. They just do. But I was walking out the restaurant to have a cigarette. Obviously, this was many years ago. And the old style kind of vintage French door handles where they have like the curve and it goes round like a bit like a snail, that went through my belt buckle at the back of my pants, but my top had gone through it as well. So I basically was like walking and then suddenly the door just like pulls me and I'm stuck on the door handle. So it wouldn't have been too bad. It was a small restaurant. There was only like 18 people in there. It wouldn't have been too bad if that was the end of it. But somehow they could not get this undone. Like, they couldn't get me off this door handle. And it's like 1 degree outside. I think that's like 28, 30 degrees in American talk. And so I was letting all the cold air in this heated restaurant. I was there for 40 minutes stuck to the door handle. 40 minutes. By the end of it, I had my wine. They had to go and get a toolkit and take off the entire door handle from the restaurant to free me. It was, and they were brand new jeans. I was like, you're not cutting these. It's not happening. But yeah, so things like that just always seem to happen to me. They are very embarrassing, but you know, they make great stories later on. So let's touch base on the Vanderpump reunion. So it really was the scandal of the decade. Vanderpump's been on 10 years now. I've been watching from the start. I'm friends with some of them. And, you know, just the Bravo world ends up being quite small, you know, when you look at the shows, especially the ones that aren't Housewives. So when Scandoval happened, I was actually recording a podcast that morning with Ronnie from Watch What Crappens, so it was perfect timing. But I don't even think that we had any clue at the time about how big this scandal was going to get. It has rocked the world. Like people, I think the finale got like 4.1 million views. Like that's insane. 4 million people don't watch Vanderpump. There's literally people that never watch Vanderpump that are watching this at the moment. So it is crazy. So I think firstly, I'm going to say Ariana looked stunning in that dress. Like I've been through some breakups and lost some weight. I never looked like that. So that's my first note. Ariana looked gorgeous. I'm loving that she is living her best life, bringing in all that money. The one thing I will say is like she posted, I think this week, last week, that she was like moving up or moving out and then showed moving boxes. So then the whole Bravo world went like, oh, she's finally moving out the house. And then when that settled in, she was like, oh no, moving up with my finances with JX Finance. I personally would be a little bit careful with that because I don't know. I feel like it's get your money, definitely monetize the situation you're in. But I have noticed with Bravo fans, the one thing we don't like is like people kind of messing with us. Like if we get super excited that you're moving out and then we find out 8 hours later, you're just like getting some financial advice. You can only do that so many times before people are going to start getting pissed off. But sell all your stuff, make all your money. It came out in the reunion last night that they made like $200,000 in merch. Holy shit. I had two of my girlfriends over and I looked at Josh and I was like, babe, these interest rates, our mortgage, you might have to fuck one of my best friends so that I can start earning that kind of money. I'll put some merch out. So I feel like she's definitely winning in this and as she fucking should. What a douchebag. And what a little, I know that you guys hate the C word over there, so I won't use that. But what a little bitch, Raquel. Like even watching the season, knowing what we know, was just jaw on the ground. How are you having conversations with Ariana about her sex life with Tom when he's literally sticking his dick in you? It's fucking disgusting. Like, it is just so wrong on so many levels and there is so much ick factor surrounding this. And I think the one thing that people like, there's a lot of people online going, you know, oh, it's hypocritical. He cheated. They all cheat. It's not that. It's the cheating, obviously. But I think the biggest thing is cheating with somebody that like is so close to your inner circle. You film with this girl. You go on holidays with this girl. Girls' weekends, especially Ariana, defended this girl. Like it's just disgusting. The whole thing's disgusting. So I did love, in typical Bravo fashion, they just gave her the cheapest, tackiest, hideous little trailer to sit in 100 yards away from Sheena. I personally would just like, I know that we need her there, but like just zoom in. I don't need your actual physical body there. So, okay. You guys have asked some opinions. So I've got some stuff from Instagram, which I put up yesterday. So do you think Rachel looks like a fangirl while watching from the trailer? So look, I think Rachel is like the epitome of a fangirl. You know, I know that like James fucked Kirsten to get on the show and, you know, they've all done some questionable things, probably except Ariana and Sheena. I love Sheena. So yeah, they've all done questionable things to get on the show. But I think with Rachel, Raquel, whatever, she is a massive TomTom fangirl. She was really pushing the Schwartz thing. I don't know about you guys, but when I was watching that, I was like, I legitimately have more chemistry with my fucking gardener. And he's like 80, you know, maybe not 80, like 60. But like there was no chemistry there. She was worried that after she broke up with James that she wasn't going to have storyline on the show. Well, slow cap. Congratulations, Raquel. You definitely have storyline on the show. Whether you'll be back next season to continue anything, because I don't know who is going to film with you. But yeah, she overcorrected with her storyline. But that Schwartz storyline was always just bullshit. There was literally zero chemistry. And like the one thing no one can deny is Raquel is extremely good looking. So I guess, I don't know how, but there was literally no chemistry. So that seemed like bullshit. And I still, despite the fact that they're saying it wasn't, I think that was a bit of a cover up. So next question from Archerfield Event. What do you think of Lala's anger? Okay. So this is one that's probably going to get me into a little bit of trouble, but who cares? It's Bravo. It's a reality show. So Ariana has said herself that Lala wasn't really part of their like inner circle. So I think that Lala is very smart. She's very opportunistic. I feel like she's obviously got like anger towards this situation. Is it as much as she puts on her Instagram story, on the reunion, on the show? Like, is she that bothered by it? I don't know. I feel like Bravo is Bravo. You know, she did make a good point last night, which is like, you know, we throw around this bully word a lot, but like going on Bravo, you're going to expect catfights. You're going to expect people yelling at you. So we, you know, they did all sign up for that, so they knew what they were getting into. But I don't know. I don't know if she's as bothered about it as she made out, you know? Like, it was only last season she was, like, fighting with Ariana all the time. I guess this is just how that show works. So they all kind of fight and make up and fight and make up. So I don't know. I love the anger. I would love it if it was, like, coming from Ariana's best friend so that you fucking know that that anger is super genuine and not trying to sell like Give Them Lala merch, you know, or call my Darren lawyer, whatever it is. So, okay. The other one that I found interesting is Lisa Vanderpump. So I think it was like this reunion was literally the first time I feel like Lisa didn't have control. Like, she's always, you know, they always kind of like, you know, she's their boss and most of them don't even work at Sir anymore, but she's like the boss of the show kind of thing. So I feel like last night, like Lala biting back at her, James making fun of like her spanking him in her lunch break kind of thing. I feel like it was the first time that we saw Lisa lose a bit of control over the crew, over the cast. So that was really interesting. And I also feel like this is not the first time Lisa has like stood up for the wrong side. I think probably a better thing for Lisa to do would be like, I'm going to keep business and personal completely separate. So even though he owns 5% of TomTom, that's business. And I can't, you know, there's nothing I can do about that in this realm of, you know, or even in this time frame, there's nothing I can do about that. But What I will say is that what he did was disgusting. What he did was completely unacceptable. What he did was the worst thing that you can do to a life partner. Like, she needed to go in there making it very clear, as opposed to going like, oh yeah, but like heaps of people have cheated and like he's not the worst one and he's not this. And like, I don't think that, honestly, I don't think he's fucking Randall Emmett level. I don't think Tom is. Like, maybe give him time. But he also doesn't have the kind of power that Randall Emmett had either. I don't know. I won't even get into the whole Randall and Lala thing because that's, I don't know, that's a totally different kettle of fish. And I feel like, I don't know, could someone like Randall really hide that for all that time? I don't think so, but I think that Lisa needed to be a lot clearer that she completely detested what Tom had done, and she needed to go a little harder on him. It felt like she was very much kind of sticking up for him, which I do not think, like, really, that's the hill you're going to die on? Like, no, it's a no. So another question, do you think Brock and Raquel ever had a fling? That's from Mitch K. Wilbur. So no, I've met Brock. I am friends with Sheena. I don't think that just because Raquel would like open her legs, that particularly means that the man is going to go and do that. You know, Brock has a child with Sheena. He has a life with Sheena. They're very happy together. So just because someone is willing doesn't mean the other person is. So I don't think that. I feel like if I was Sheena, I don't fucking care how much I trust my man or my friend. I'm not going to say that you guys can be in the same bed together. But, you know, she's obviously way more trusting in the world than I am. So... okay. Oh yeah. So do I feel like Tom's tears were genuine? In short, no. I know people who know him, who've spent time with him. And yeah, that doesn't equate to what is being said behind closed doors. So no, I feel like he knows that he is like one of the most hated men in America at the moment, which is saying a lot. America's very big and there's some dicks there. So he knows that. And I think he feels like the only way to come back is these crocodile tears and things like that. But I don't know. I genuinely feel like even Raquel, with how little emotion she showed, if you're going to go in like and sit in your trailer and act like that, just lean into it, make some popcorn and just sit there with that smirk on your face, eating popcorn and just knowing that you're still going to be the most hated woman and everyone still hates you. So like lean into it, be a smart ass. That's what I say. Yeah. Celeste 9861. I want them all to go away. I think I've covered this. Your thoughts on Lala's involvement with the whole situation, overkill or warranted? Overkill for the fact that you're not really, really tight with Ariana. I did really like the fact that like these two fucking Toms, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, didn't even get their timeline sorted. That's like the most basic of conversations. You could do that on a fucking text message. Just confirm you're both saying when Schwartz found out. Like, that is the most basic thing you should do before a reunion. Like, do your homework. Come on. Do I think Tom and Raquel are broken up? Yes, I do. I just don't see that lasting. I think Tom is like a narcissist and he has a massive ego and Ariana just doesn't need to stroke his ego. So once you're that long in a relationship, you just need to be secure in yourself. You don't need a lap dog to follow you around and like tell you how amazing you are. Also, I've heard you're fucking banned. You're not that amazing. So the one thing that I'm going to answer before we wrap this up is my thoughts on James this season. So I think, you know, I listen to Watch What Crappens like pretty religiously. It's like what I do when I'm cooking, cleaning, picking up Ava, going for walks. Like I just, those two boys are so fucking hilarious. And this podcast is not sponsored by them, by the way. I genuinely just love their podcast. But they, I was listening to their recap of, I think it was the final episode or something. And they said like, what seems to happen in this show is something like Scandoval will happen. And then they all think that like all the shitty behavior that they've all done that's been on camera is like somehow eradicated. I think the hard thing with James is that he is so funny and that kind of like eradicates his really bad behavior. It's almost like he doesn't take himself too seriously. His interviews this season have been amazing. I feel like he's like kind of at Housewives level for interviews. You know, he's so good in interviews. And that's the thing I think a lot of people in reality TV don't understand is if you're like really, really good at interview, you can actually like not get into the super confrontational fights and things like that because you just like let it go. And then in interview, you burn the shit out of the person. So I think James Kennedy is very good at that. I'm enjoying him this season. I don't love the love bombing. I think that I would never be able to like deal with a partner that was just constantly like smothering me in kisses and love and telling me how pretty I am. Like, I think I'd probably punch him in the face. But apart from the love bombing, I think he's hilarious. I like how he's, you know, I feel like last night he was definitely speaking up a little bit, like kind of on Ariana's behalf or instead of Ariana or answering her questions. But I feel like the hard thing is, you know, as much as Sandoval was like, oh, I'm not his brother, blah, blah, blah. It's like you paid for his engagement. Like you guys were obviously pretty fucking tight. And then you spent like 7 months fucking his ex-fiance. And I think that's pretty harsh as well. Obviously, Ariana is the number one like person who was wronged in this situation. But I do think that James would have been pretty hurt as well. Like if you put yourself in his position, it's a pretty shitty thing to do as well. So I am getting the girls around next week. So maybe next week we can chat more about the reunion. Just DM me on the podcast at Hannah's Podcast if you've got any questions you want me to answer. And remember to call 469-300-9820 for Hannah's helpline. And maybe we can do a little bit of Vanderpump. I'll tell you more embarrassing stories and we can do some Hannah Helps next week. Until then, have a fabulous week. Happy Super Bowl. Well, bravo Super Bowl 3 weeks to us. And I will chat with you next week. See you later, guys.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.